Welcome to In the Classroom, an educational podcast making teaching and learning more transparent. My name is Benjamin Stewart. Today is September 17th, 2020. Today I want to spend some time talking about the flipped learning environment, flipped learning approach. Want to share with you some thoughts about flipped learning in terms of the different types of content that I face, that I want to share with you the way that I look at content, providing some examples of what it looks like in my own classroom, and really try to frame whether or not some of this content that I'm categorizing, how it fits into the flipped learning approach. So if you're interested in the show notes, if you're interested in seeing some of the links that I talk about, some of the websites that I'm going to be referring to today, you can access it via my website, BenjaminLStewart.org, looking for the post titled A Content Taxonomy, #OpenFlip. So what generated or inspired today's discussion actually came from a tweet where the author asked the following question. How can we say that most online and semi-distance courses use a flipped learning methodology? Since students work the content on their own, what makes them flipped or not flipped? I think this is a really important question. I particularly like thinking in terms of students working the content on their own, what it actually means to work the different types of content that, at least the content that I, the way that I think about it, and what it means to actually work it on their own. Because I do think that really this is at the root of a flipped learning approach. How much can students do on their own? And how much can they do on their own to allow more of a dynamic educative experience when meeting with teachers face-to-face? How to get the best value with the teacher and the students together, whether we're talking in person or online, how to really get the most out of the educative experience, especially when they're together in real time. So today's essential question, how does flipped learning emerge in a distance learning environment? So before I get into it, I want to encourage everyone to check out the Open Flipped Summer 2020 CMOOC. I've included a link here in the show notes, but you can also access it at theopenflipped.com/summer2020. And I highly recommend that you check that out. There are a lot of good discussions going on in the YouTube channel that's also a part of the CMOOC. So yeah, definitely check that out. To provide some context, this semester I'm teaching English language learners at an A1 to A2 English proficiency level. These are students who are entering into the first year of a propedeutic year before going on to the first semester of a BA program in English language teaching. The propedeutic year consists of classes in listening and speaking, which are the two classes that I'm teaching this semester. They have a class in reading, a class in writing, grammar, and also in culture. All the classes obviously being delivered in English. The idea is to expose them basically all day and give them a lot of exposure to help them increase their English proficiency. And so our focus in my class were really trying to find opportunities to help them with their listening comprehension and their conversational proficiency. So I want to dive into the different ways that I look at content, the way that I categorize certain types of content, and then really try to think about it in terms of whether or not it falls under the umbrella of a flipped learning environment or not. So the first way I would look at content would be that's created by the learner. This learner-generated content, or I also would look at it as basically output, students that are creating products through the educative experience. And, you know, probably for the most part, I think most would agree that this does not fall under the category of flipped. I mean, I guess we could really find some different ways of using learner content and kind of turning it around to provide input, which certainly could be the case. But I think for the most part, at least in my context, It's not considered flipped. For me, this semester, students are using Flipgrid a lot to create videos around very short video segments around different topics. We'll be using that platform all semester. And since Flipgrid is also part of Microsoft, it fits within and integrates very nicely with Microsoft Teams, which basically is where the whole educative experience resides in our online environment this semester. So even videos that they create, for example, in their podcasts are also in OneDrive, which is also part of Microsoft Teams. Students are creating weekly episodes. They're creating their own podcast, but creating audios or videos each week that would also be categorized as a learner-generated type of content. And again, all of this is within Teams, Microsoft Teams. Now, we also have non-learner generated content. This then would serve more as input information that they receive that then goes on to be converted into intake that then hopefully moves to short and then longer term memory in terms of what they understand and what they can do with that content through the development of their language skills. Again, depending on how it's brought into the class, you could debate whether or not this is flipped or not. It's going to be very much dependent on how it's being introduced, how students are actually working with the content. So let me go in a little bit deeper into different types of non-learner generated content. So the first type could be considered instructor generated content versus non-instructor generated content. So instructor generated content would be, for example, videos that I create and offer in YouTube for my students through a playlist that's integrated into Microsoft Teams. Students can access tutorials that I create. And generally, tutorials are either anticipated or they're on demand. So sometimes I can anticipate certain problems or issues that students might have. So I will create a certain type of content and ask them to access that information. And obviously, if it happens before the class, then probably that's going to be categorized as flipped. Anticipated content doesn't necessarily mean that they access it before class, though. It could also be something that they access later after they realize perhaps that they now need that information or that tutorial. Then they could obviously check that. There could even be cases where students might decide on their own that they don't need that content. So it could be a voluntary type of situation where it's just if they need it, they're going to use it. But I categorize this as anticipated more from my standpoint as the instructor in terms of offering that content before they need it. And making them aware of the content that it exists, that if it's a tutorial that I encourage them to access it. And, you know, then it's really up to them whether or not they do so. Another type of tutorial could be on demand. So a lot of times through class interactions, I'll determine, you know, after class that maybe I need to create a video to clarify or to maybe, you know, give them some direction. And, you know, again, it will be generated through the class, something that I didn't anticipate that it really just came up that that needed to be done. But it's usually still in the form of a tutorial. Now, besides tutorials, then we could also have content that's generated from the classroom interactions. And usually this is in the form of just a recording of each of the classes. Every live session that we have, again, we meet Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 in the morning, 10 hours a week. All of those class interactions are being recorded and being offered through a playlist, again, brought into Microsoft Teams, and students are able to access those recordings as needed. So if they miss a class, of course, then these recordings will hopefully, they will benefit from those. Obviously, since they are also learning the language, there's going to be a lot of language that they're not going to understand, whether it's coming from me or from their classmates. So having that recording and having that available to them afterwards, if they need to clarify and review something that maybe they missed during the class, during the live session, then this is another type of content that will serve a purpose. For the most part, I would categorize this probably as not being a flipped learning situation, that this content wouldn't fall under the category of a flipped learning approach. So we have tutorials, we have classroom interactions. Now, the classroom interactions could also fall into two categories. One could relate to the curriculum, that is the objectives of the course, maybe even their learning objectives of each individual student. So their classroom recordings could really relate to that type of information, that type of content. It could also be non-curricular or non-curriculum related. And what comes to mind there are those that relate to information and communication technologies, ICTs, or educative technologies. It could also relate to learning strategies. Okay, so in class, if we're talking about a specific strategy that that is useful for the particular activity or task that they're asked to complete, then obviously that that type of information, that type of content is being produced through the recordings, through the classroom recordings. All right. Again, all of these probably fall under the category of a non-flipped learning experience. Now, beyond the instructor-generated content, we have the non-instructor-generated content. Now, this could be categorized as flipped if students are accessing, let's say, content that's very much related to the curriculum, or even the non-curriculum related content in terms of ICTs or learning strategies. So if students are being asked to access a YouTube video, a TED Talk, any type of content that they can find online that's not generated by the instructor, not generated specifically for the purposes of that class, this would fall under, again, this category of a non-instructor generated content. And it could relate to the curriculum, of course, or non-curriculum related content. Now, under the category of curriculum related content, you could think about it as accessing this content either before, during, or after the class. So again, any type of content that's accessed before the class, I think most of us would agree that that would fall under the category of a flipped learning situation. If they're accessing content during the class or after the class, there could be some exceptions, but I think for the most part, that would be a non-flipped situation. Like I mentioned before, if students are participating in a task-based learning situation, or maybe it's a problem-based learning approach where over several days or even possibly weeks, students are working on a task from one day to the next, then I could conceivably see them accessing, you know, non-instructor generated content, information from YouTube, TED Talks, that they access after class that maybe would be helpful to them for the next class. And so, yeah, that could be something that might be considered both flipped or non-flipped, depending on, again, how they're working with the content and the purpose of what they're asked to do in the class with their instructor. And again, at the root of all of this is, how do we get the most out of our face-to-face class with our instructors or with our students, right? That dynamic between teacher and student, that live class, whether it's face-to-face or online, but that meeting that you're having, how do you get the most out of that experience? All right, so that's in a nutshell how I would categorize the different types of content. And if you're listening to this video, I'm pretty certain that if you're listening, and it's going to be helpful if you're actually looking at the outline that I provided in the show notes, where I'm categorizing all the different types of content, and as you're listening, kind of following along through the outline, because it is a little dense, but I think it's important to get into the weeds a little bit in terms of the different ways that content can be can be used, that can, that the different ways that students can work the content, what can they do on their own versus what can't they do on their own? Where, when do they need the assistance of the instructor to help them through the different pieces of content? In my case, I think of content in the way that I'm sharing with you today, because students are practicing listening, especially listening and speaking, but they're really, you know, there's a lot of different ways of listening to different types of content. And for me, these are the types of content that came to mind in my class, where it's all built to help them with their listening comprehension, but obviously each type has a purpose, and each type is probably going to be best served at different times throughout the educative sequence, right? The educative experience over time. How are these different types of content brought in, and how do they work, and how do they use this content and work with it based on specific tasks? So to conclude, the goal of any live synchronous class, be it online or in person, is to leverage a content taxonomy in a way that adds the most value in achieving desired results. Those desired results could be obviously in-class results, or they could be asynchronous type of communication or outcomes that are generated from asynchronous types of communication. An instructor should help learners move from being dependent to independent, finally becoming interdependent in terms of using the content to demonstrate what they know, what they can do, and who they are in terms of a subscribed value system. Let me know what you think. Share how you're using the different types of content, what it looks like in terms of a flipped learning environment. I'm interested in how others are viewing content. And again, this question about students working content on their own is an important question, especially in terms of what it means to introduce a flipped learning experience and try to design one and provide a flipped learning experience for students. This has been In the Classroom, an educational podcast making teaching and learning more transparent. Thanks for listening.